Oh, come all ye faithful. Ever thought about those words? That's us. All those that believe. This is what the songwriter was talking about. Oh, come all ye faithful. Come to the witness the birth of Christ, whether it be through in a physical sense, which we've already celebrated, but also in a sense of remembering God's great love for us. I'd like to read for scripture text this morning, recorded in the Gospel of John, the very first chapter. It's the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We begin with the first verse and reading through verse 14. We read these words in Jesus' name. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shone in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of only the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Heavenly Father, your words are before us, and your promise is before us. Father, we ask that you would plant them in our hearts, for indeed these words are true, even as we know you are true. In Jesus' name, amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oftentimes, I don't know about you, but oftentimes I'll think of that in the beginning. Well, the beginning of what? Beginning in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, that's when everything, that's when Christian history, I guess, if you will, started. But that's not what John is saying here. That's not what he's referring to. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, at the very moment that the beginning began. It sounds a little frivolous, but in other words, Christ has been with God because Christ is God. It's not the beginning, they're not referring to the beginning of mankind. They're not referring to the beginning of the making of the world or making of the earth or creating anything. What John is referring to is that Christ has always been with God. It's always been there. In fact, to even say in the beginning, I don't want to say frivolous, but really isn't a good way to say it. Because he's always been there. And there is no beginning, there is no end. But Christ is referred to as the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God, which can be confusing, especially to new Christians, because they look at it and they separate Christ and God, and which even Christians do. He goes on, he says, the same was in the beginning with God. He was the same. Nothing changed. Nothing was different. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made. Can we say, if we were to make a statement right now saying, well, Christ made the earth, or Christ made the seas, or the animals, or mankind, would you feel comfortable with that? By saying that? I think in this case here, it is God who did all of that. Christ being with God, yes, he was there. But Christ had a specific function. Christ had a specific job to do, if you will. And that was to provide salvation for us. His function was to come upon this earth and be that sacrifice that God wanted. But then again, it was God that came upon this earth. It sounds, oh, so awfully confusing. But the point is that he is one and loves us. And his grace that he has and that he has bestowed upon us is such that is confusing to him, mankind. But it is also such that Christians can glory in, knowing that that sacrifice was made for us. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In him was life. Well, wait a minute, I'm already living. That's not what Scripture is talking about. In him was eternal life. Faith in him is eternal life. And that life is a light to men. It's light to all those who want to believe and who want to accept. All of this is starting, even as we are starting the day after Christmas, the day after we celebrate the birth of Christ. This is the beginning. And that word of God has not changed. That word is still with God, and that word is still God. And even if we look at the beginning from yesterday or today, or if we look at the beginning from the beginning of time as we can calculate it, or even go further back than that, God is still there. And Christ is still his Son, and Christ is still God. The darkness comprehended it not. What is the darkness? It's the sin. The sin of mankind did not understand it. The sin of mankind does not understand it today. That light shines in the darkness, and man gets upset. Man becomes very, very angry when you point out their sin. Even if they don't agree with you. Even if they don't agree that it is sin. Even if they don't agree that they are living in such a manner. They still become angry. For I think in within each and every person, there's something way down deep inside that recognizes where their salvation is, or where Christ is, or who Christ is. But in order to bring that out, I guess maybe you could say, they have to accept the fact that they have nothing that they can offer. You can cover it up with words, you can cover it up with all kinds of sayings, you can cover it up with all kinds of different things. But unless they fully recognize where their salvation comes from, and believes it, none of the excuses are relevant. So the darkness did not understand it, even as it doesn't understand it today. Or maybe we could say a darkness does not want to accept it, even as they don't want to accept it today. But yet it's still there, and it's still the truth. Now John goes on, he says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. There are some that place an awful lot of importance, and that really isn't probably the best word to use, because what John did obviously was important. But John himself said that I'm not the one that you need to follow. I'm not the one that you need to worship, because there's somebody coming after me that I'm not even worthy to bend down and untie his shoes. You see, John fully understood, because John, the Holy Spirit was with John even in the womb. And we read that when Mary came to Elizabeth's house. And as soon as the child that Elizabeth was carrying heard Mary's voice, the child leaped and recognized that the mother of his Savior had entered in. And that's only happens through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit that lives within a person. There's been a lot of discussion as to whether the Spirit was around during Old Testament times, and some are very adamant about it, some not, maybe not so much. For me, I don't really pay a whole lot of attention to it. I believe what I believe. And for me to read that the Holy Spirit was within John, which still was during Old Testament times, tells me that the Holy Spirit was there. And there are other times throughout the Old Testament where the Spirit is spoken of. The Spirit was there. It's not something new. It's not something that God created after Christ died. The Spirit was there. And that same came for witness to bear, the same being John, came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That was John's position. It only lasted about 6 months, roughly. And his specific job was to prepare the people, prepare them for the coming of Christ. And obviously he had an impact on them. Because as we read in Scripture, in Luke, we read about how so many came to be baptized of water. He had a message that people believed. And that same message is today, that Christ has come, and he is offering salvation to all who would believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, which we've already mentioned. And that was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. That true light is Christ. And in verse 10, he says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. It wasn't the people that did not receive him. For we see, even with John and Christ, as he was making his rounds and doing his preaching, there were just droves and droves and droves of people that followed him. There were people that followed him around and worshiped him and praised him. So in verse 11, he says, when his own received him not. What is being spoken of there, of those religious leaders? The religious leaders who were the ones that were supposed to know Scripture, the ones who were supposed to lead the people, the ones who were supposed to prophesy and recognize the fact that Christ came. And they refused to do it, because it did not fit. It did not fit what they understood to be the right way to do it. It became a jealousy thing, maybe. it became a thing that, well, if we let this guy in, we're going to lose our position, and therefore we are not going to be made, we are not going to be any more in control or in charge. There's all kinds of different methods or different ways that that could go. It's changed today, though, right? No. Mankind is still just as adamant. Mankind is still just as sinful. And mankind still does not want to give up power in whatever position they happen to be in. So his own did not receive him. But as many that did receive them, he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Those which are born not of the blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. That's where that power comes from. That power that we have this morning because we have been born of God. Because we believe in Christ. And we believe in what he has done. And that's the only way and the only reason. It doesn't come because of any physical birth. It doesn't come by anything that we have done. But it is by the grace of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It was here. Christ was here and dwelt among us. Christ was fully man. So often, I've heard it said, and I've thought of it myself. Well, yes, he was fully man, but he was still God. That term, but, keeps coming in. No buts. He was fully man. Tempted in every way. Endured in every way. Because he was man. There's something that I came across this last week, and I'd like to read it in closing. And some of you may have already seen it. It's called The Unraveling. And it has a very important message. And it's something that pertains to, I think, a discussion that I've had with several different pastors about God knowing what's going on and about what he is, does he understand I want to make sure I phrase this properly. Does he allow us to shorten our life? And we've all come to the conclusion that no, there's nothing in Scripture that can back that up. So he knows what's happening on this earth. And I'd like to read this. As I said, it's called The Unraveling. Through the fall in the garden, he knew. Through the flood, he knew. Through the sacrifices, the rituals, the laws, he knew. Through the sin, the wreckage, through the war and the famines, he knew. Through the judges, through the prophets, through the kings, he knew. Through the lion's den, the giant named Goliath, the whale's belly, he knew. God knew. He has always known what would happen to humanity. And he's always known about Christmas. Before Genesis 1:1, before things got really bad, he already made up his mind that he'd put on flesh because it was the only way his children could be saved. Christmas, Christ, has always been the plan. This holiday we celebrate It's not just about a baby lying in a manger. It's about his rescue plan for you and me. The greatest plan of all time. The plan that God made before time, because he knew. He knew our brokenness, so he made himself breakable. He made himself human. I hope this Christmas you feel the remarkable love that he has for you. I hope you'll marvel at the truth of an all-knowing God who created a plan for eternity before it even began, with you in mind. I'm thankful for God who knew what we'd need and still fully and completely knows now. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that precious message. We thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that even before the beginning of time, you had a plan all laid out. You allowed mankind to govern himself and knew the whole time knowing that it was not going to work. But yet the opportunity was given, and there were those that were saved even in that time. But Father, as we read, you became flesh, and you came upon this earth that you would offer up to all those who believe the love and the gift of salvation. Father, as we leave this place, we ask that we would be reminded of that each and every day, and that we would be indeed a witness and a light to those who do not know you. And if the question ever arises of what is that stuff that you believe, we could wholeheartedly and with a compassion and love answer it with the love that you have had for us. Now, Father, we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.